Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet.
What's happening, everybody, and welcome to this, another episode of Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet. And as the holiday season is well underway, we thought we'd celebrate by going over the best matches and moments of what has been a fantastic 2018 in wrestling. Yes, we're going to talk about all things moments-wise and match-wise, apart from the worst ones, because that's for another day, of the last year. I am your host this week, Stephen Wilson, and I am joined by a panel who are itching and raring to go on this third last show of the year. First off, as a man who in recent weeks has survived party hosting leads in a slow dating life, a man of many nicknames, the King of Kayfabe, the modern day Maharaja, Mr. Money in the Clydesdale Bank, and the fella with the yellow bin, it's David Hockney.
Fella with the yellow bin, just keep racking him up, you know, I can take it.
Can you?
No, probably not.
You forgot to mention the football.
Oh, don't get me started on the football.
We'll come to the football on next week's show. Also, next on the panel is somebody who came in second in this year's Glasgow Bolt for most favourite thing from Edinburgh. To Liam Thompson's sink. It is, of course, Sarah Green.
Hi, I'm quite happy to come second to Liam's sink. I'm not going to deny that.
Even though, as Billy Cutwood always says, it's not even that good a sink. It's only got one tap.
I don't care.
Billy, blasphemy.
Up next is a man fresh from breaking his ICW Big Show virginity. It is the turtleneck trainee. It's the big man himself, Andy Mitchell.
Hello, how's it going? Don't have the turtleneck on today, sadly.
No, you're sporting some dodgy t-shirt.
Oh, I am, yeah. It's offended Quacko.
Very dodgy t-shirt.
And myself.
Yes, for those who don't know, we record in Radio Cali at Glasgow Caledonian University. And he's wearing his University of Glasgow t-shirt.
It was the only t-shirt I could find for work, so I don't mind. We're rival colours.
What you've done is walk into the Ibrox bar with a Celtic shirt and say, hello, how you doing? Like Enzo Amore.
And from the big man to the big dog is a man whose favourite memories of this year has caused much distress to his surrounding neighbours. It's Alan McLucas.
Right, mate, how's it going?
Fine, how's you?
I'm good, mate, I'm good.
Your neighbours talking to you again after WrestleMania?
Well, one of them's deaf now, so.
And
I'm going to tell people series on a lap because we know the story.
You said they're deaf, well, they won't listen to this thing. So.
Oh, no, it's fine. And the other ones I don't like, they're not nice people, so I don't care.
And we round it off with a man who I put so much effort into the last four intros that I've not even got one for him. So I'm simply just going to introduce him very nicely for once. It is, of course, Quacko Daddy.
Oh, thank you. I thank you for that. A nice one, I like it. If you could keep that up for the rest of the time, I'll be very happy.
I can't guarantee that, man.
Oh, well,
that. We know how this goes.
I know. I hate you, Stephen Wilson. Sorry, yes. About in there.
It's okay, everybody hates me, apparently. Yeah, so this is our best moments and matches of 2018 show. If you liked this, what you listened to, or have liked what we've done in the past, please give us a wee follow on social media, first of all. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Suplex Retweet. We tweet and Facebook post about pretty much everything to do with wrestling. We also have an extensive back catalogue, so you can subscribe to that. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other podcasting sites. Just search for Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. We've got over 100 shows to choose from. including panel discussions and interviews, including our most recent one with Mikey Whiplash, done by Sarah.
Yes.
Which has got the social media world buzzing.
Oh, I know, but with all fairness, he's such an intellectual human being, and you can't help but be really interested in what he says.
A man who's been described by some as having a very soothing voice. But he features quite prominently on this show. There's a lot of people wanting to talk about Mikey Whiplash, and we will mention him in the show over the next 90 minutes. But as I said, 100 shows in our back catalogue. We also recently reached a milestone of 21,000 listens. Woo! Great way to end 2018. So keep on listening, keep on subscribing, and keep on giving us the feedback and telling us what you like or even what you don't like. We know Dave's a bit dodgy at times.
Is that just news to you?
Sorry. At least deny it, for God's sake.
No, I've given up denying stuff now. I'm just going to take it as it comes. Like, remember what I said in the anniversary show? Taking verbal abuse like a champ? I'm still doing it.
We'll see how this show goes then.
We'll break you.
Right, let's get started. And I think we should talk about the matches first of all, as the matches is the thing that a lot of people have been messaging us about. So what the format of the show is, we've got two WWE matches, two NXT matches, and two matches from Scottish Wrestling. And then we're going to have a wee segment where we talk about some of the ones that some of the listeners and some of the other panellists have talked about. There's going to be a lot in there, so if your match doesn't get mentioned, don't be offended, but please tell us on social media if your match hasn't been mentioned and say why you liked it as well. So we'll start with WWE, and these choices were kind of ones picked by all the panellists on the show today. I picked some of the best ones and some of the ones that were picked most often. I'm going to start with one that came up a couple of times, and I'm going to go to Andy on this one. We start with one of everybody's favourite matches of the year that was done in January this year. Is, of course, the Royal Rumble match, and it was the men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It's probably the only match on this list I've actually watched fully. I had no preparation for this. George at uni and work, absolute knackers. I thought it was amazing. Watched it in Walkabout with Quacker. It was such a great time. We bonded over that, and that's why I think it was his favourite. I've got personal moments because of this match. That's, you know, rather than the match itself. No, I thought it was great because I think it was like the problem with Royal Rumbles recently before that. It was like you always knew who was going to win, and I think that was the first one where it was like this could go either way, and it was just great.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a great Royal Rumble match in terms of storytelling, the way things were done. Dave, there was a lot of touchy moments, I think, in the match. There was a lot of moments that had fans thinking, oh god, they're going to go this way, they're going to go that way. None more so than when they kind of went down in the final six, I thought.
Yeah, no, that was one of my favourite moments of the match, because throughout its entirety, you know, the pacing, the storytelling, the surprise, debuts, returns and stuff, it was all going really, really well. I'm thinking it's going to be crucial in the last sort of six or so. But the storytelling at that point, you know, was like new gen versus old gen, because you had Cena, Orton and Mysterio against Finn Balor, Roman Reigns and Nakamura. Mm-hmm. I mean, that on its own was great, but when it came down to the final four, the dynamic changed a bit. Mm-hmm. It sort of became Vince's guys versus the fans' guys. And when it came down to one on either side, like Nakamura and Reigns, you think, oh my god, please don't make Reigns win again, because I think there's going to be riots, especially because it was in Philadelphia and that was the year Roman won his Rumble. That was also in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So I think having to do that in Philadelphia would be suicidal on WWE's part. But the pop when Nakamura won, that was just outstanding.
Oh.
Such a good feeling just seeing a guy get his dues and, you know, the fans going home happy for once.
Was it? Yeah, it was just funny when we were watching that Walkabout, it was like everyone was like, yay, and then they just ran to the toilet. They just like pulled it in. Like,
what was interesting with this Rumble compared to other ones, Sarah, is the fact this one was kind of overshadowed, as this was also the year obviously we had the first women's Royal Rumble.
Historic!
That's my thing.
This match was kind of, it fell under the radar, especially it was in that odd position that we'd never seen for a men's Rumble match. It was in the middle of the card.
I know, like, that's what I was really surprised with, the fact that it wasn't the main event of like what it usually is. But with all fairness, like, the women, I wouldn't say they kind of deserved it to be the main event, but like, I don't even know. I mean, men's Rumble match, I'm not saying that I didn't want Nakamura to win it, but I kind of wanted Finn to win it instead.
I think a lot of people were torn when Finn and Nakamura were in the final four. And
not torn at all.
But props to Balor though. I mean, he put in a marathon performance that match. He started at number two.
He was the Iron Man of it.
Yeah.
there was a lot of fun moments, I thought, in it. We always get with the Rumbles, you get the returns, but there was also some Hurricane, Val, and there was one of the things I particularly liked was the use of kind of the lower mid-card guys, Heath Slater in particular. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely
fantastic.
Yeah, the Heath Slater storytelling was fantastic, yeah. Mm. And did he not eliminate Sheamus in like 2 seconds?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic, you know, there was just so much going on, wasn't it?
Alright, brilliant.
Sheamus is the only guy that can take something like that, but still come out.
Was not on his 40th birthday?
He's the only guy that can like kind of take that, and it's brilliant.
Big birthday, Vince Gregg, I'm going to give you a chance, and then you're like, you only last 2 seconds. Then you go and party, you know.
I'm going to give you something you will never forget.
It was a great Rumble. I love the fact that Nakamura won it because it was a SmackDown guy won it. Mm, you know, right. SmackDown, as we've all discussed so many times over the years, has been treated as the Diddy Show, the B Show, and the fact that he won it and he took SmackDown to a new level, I thought at that time as well. I was over the moon, I was kind of gutty for Balor. Really liked the thought of him. And I was really hoping it was going to be him and Nakamura at the end, not Reigns. Even though I'm a Reigns fan, I totally agree with Dave. I would have been like, no, not again. Just no, no. Even your Scottish cousin's going to get over that rope and just walk out. But it was a really good Rumble match. I enjoyed every bit of it. And other than WrestleMania, it's the only pay-per-view I've actually watched live. No, I didn't watch WrestleMania live. That's a lie. It's next day. No, tell lies. It's the only pay-per-view I've actually watched live this year.
The only pay-per-view I think I've watched fully this year is WWE. Yeah. Locked out of WrestleMania.
I understand why. Instead of saying you didn't feel that the women's should have been the main event, I felt this year it should have been because there'd been such a big deal about it. But what I'd have done was I'd have put that first if you're going to put the women last.
Open and close
and,
it.
Yeah, and I just felt when it came out, you were like, oh, really? You know, I felt a bit sorry for it, but the match itself was sensational and it deserved more.
I was pretty much like knackered after the men's Rumble match to even enjoy the women's Rumble match.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, and they say it was a shame what happened with Nakamura in there, but there were so many great moments, and it's one of the more memorable Rumbles in recent memory. The second WWE match we picked was one, it came at a big pay-per-view, there was a lot of hype to it, the feud was great. Saying, of course I'm going to go to you this one. It's Becky versus Charlotte, Last Woman Standing WWE Evolution.
Evolution was actually a really great pay-per-view. I mean, I think with that build-up, we weren't actually expecting it to be as good because there was next to no build-up, but Charlotte and Becky did it all themselves. I mean, I wouldn't say they carried the pay-per-view, but that Last Woman Standing match, it was absolutely phenomenal. Like, give or take, there's a couple of wee spots that we picked up on. Like the referee kicking the chair to Becky, who's like, there you go, Hen, you're supposed to hit her with that chair, just to make sure she could reach it. But the storytelling through that match was unbelievable. The actual bumps that they all took, and like the close calls as well, like Charlotte being buried under God knows how many things, and then going off She-Hulk and bursting out like the last second. You couldn't get much better than that. I absolutely loved it.
No, definitely. Dave, they've kind of described it as the one of the best women's matches in recent memory. Would you think that's quite a fair representation of this?
I think that's a very fair representation of it. I don't remember as good a women's match since probably when Trish and Lita main evented Raw, and that was 14 years ago, almost. But I was looking at this view and I'm thinking, this is going to absolutely tear the house down. Why it wasn't main eventing Evolution is beyond me, because...
Oh, because Ronda Rousey was
there. Well, Ronda Rousey was there, but unfortunately, also by association, Nikki Bella had to be there. Sorry, Stacey. But, easily one of the, if not the best women's match I've ever seen. I just think maybe they could have done the finish a bit better. While it was a good finish, I think maybe the bit where Charlotte got everything thrown on top of her and he was just buried under that pile of stuff, I think that should have been the finish. But I think what I liked about it was the anticipation that that was going to be the finish, but then she kicks out and she thinks, oh my god, we're still going with this. But it just goes to show that, you know, the women can put on the best match of the night and they could do it just as even better than the men can.
Yeah, Dave, I don't really want to be sarky, but that was an all-women's card, so the women were always going to put the best match of the night on. Sorry, Dave.
Evolution overall, though, I think, well...
Great pay-per-view.
Great. Maybe not the best of the year, but still very, very good for its first outing.
It was very high up there, but Alan, did you think this was a match that kind of solidified to some doubters that Becky was the real deal?
Absolutely. Good question. No, she is the man. This cemented it. We've discussed off-air as well, Becky deserved the push for months and months. Mm-hmm. This showed that she, for me, will be the pinnacle of women's wrestling for the foreseeable future. For me, Ronda can't even lace her boots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's an interesting one. Andy, do you agree with some of the guys that this match probably should have been on last on this pay-per-view?
I think so, yeah. Well, I understand why Ronda Rousey was, because like, the WWE sees as a draw, but you've got two world courses in there, and like I say, I haven't actually had a chance to see the match. I saw the table spot about 20 minutes before I arrived.
Mike Yoda's the MVP of this match, other than Becky. The things that man did in this match, it's like, thanks, Mike.
But now you've definitely got two world courses there, and it's like, you know, you could see them like main event like a WrestleMania or something like that if they get a chance.
Yeah, there's got to be one of the two of them have got to be in one of the big matches at Mania.
Oh,
a lot of us are hoping for Becky. I'm hoping for Becky.
Yeah, there was talk of Ronda Becky, although it didn't happen at Survivor Series.
They're talking a triple threat now.
Mm. Oh, triple threat would be interesting. I quite like the idea of Charlotte facing Ronda Rumble, or even at the Elimination Chamber, and then we get Becky and Nia at that point as well to kind of close off a few feuds.
I think you have to have Ronda Becky. Just because it puts more focus on their feud, and I'm pretty sure, you know, all the build up from Survivor Series and before that, this culmination just between the two of them, it just means perfect storytelling.
Now, before we quickly move, we go on to the NXT matches, I'm going to quickly ask you briefly on the spot, which of these two WWE matches was your favourite? Dave?
I got to go with the Men's Rumble.
Ooh, interesting.
Your Men's is obviously the Men's Rumble, I haven't seen the other one, so I want to get around to watching.
Rumble for me.
Ooh. Sarah?
Charlotte and Becky for me, obviously.
Kwaku, what's your thought?
Charlotte and Becky, maybe. And I know it's weird me saying this because...
You just broke out of
the smart. Rumble match is like your perfect type match.
I know, but it didn't have enough comedy in it.
The UK and the pancakes.
That was brilliant. Oh my god.
Charlotte and Becky doesn't have any comedy in it.
I forgot about that moment. That was excellent.
You loved that just because Jinder was the receiving one.
That made even better. Just the creativity behind it as well. That was outstanding.
The pancake, the Heath Slater, Sheamus, that was it. That was.
What about the hurricane as well? Come on.
Yeah, that, but.
There wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough, so I've got to go with Charlotte Penny.
But yeah, that's the two WWE matches we've highlighted, first of all. We're going to go to the NXT now. With NXT, the thing about NXT is there were so many great matches in NXT. I think it was hard to kind of pick just two. But I think there was one night in NXT this year which kind of stood out, and that's the one that's kind of been the main focus of these two matches. I'm going to go with Dave first, and we're going to go to the match that started. NXT TakeOver New Orleans.
Yeah.
The ladder match for the North American Championship. Yeah.
Where do you start? I know, where do you begin? I mean, so you get six of the most talented guys on NXT. I think two of them were debuting, Ricochet and EC3. Mm-hmm. Their first match on NXT, 5-star match, which also included ICW's own big demo, Killian Dane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah, in case I haven't mentioned it already, the ladder match is one of my favourite match stipulations. That's why I'm always looking forward to Money in the Bank and stuff. But I think, because it was obviously it's a new championship as well, we're going to crown an inaugural champion. That's storytelling in of itself. And the best thing about why I liked about this was you had six guys who any of them could have won. So there was no sort of clear favourite.
Even Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, I mean, Lars Sullivan was more of the dark horse in this match, and he can actually say now he's actually had a 5-star match.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, would you have thought Lars Sullivan had a 5-star match this year?
Well, I don't even know who he is.
He's the guy in NXT. He's
the gorilla. He looks like a gorilla
rampage. Yeah. I know, like I said, I managed to catch up with this, and he did look pretty powerful, that power horse, but I don't really know much about him,
There was so much in the match, Alan. There were so many great spots in it. I particularly liked the bit where Sullivan and Demo chucking Ricochet from corner to corner. But there were so many great spots. I mean, we talked about some of the spots in the Rumble match, but the ladder match, as we talked about in other shows in the past, it's always got a bit of a spot fest to it.
Oh, absolutely. Just like they said, it's one of my favourites as well. Because you just know, some poor sod's getting chucked 20 foot. And it's whether or not, are they going to land the ring? Are they going to go through the announce table? Or are they going to be really lucky and hit the concrete? You know, and you go, oh, you hear the crunch. But, no, it's guaranteed excitement. It really is. There's very few matches or stipulations out there that guarantees that, and the ladder match every time will do it.
I mean, the thing about this show, Sarah, looking back on it, was the interesting thing I thought was obviously Adam Cole's involvement in this match, and obviously he was in a tag match later on, so that kind of made the outcome a bit surprising to me. I didn't really see as much of Adam Cole.
Baby. You stole my historic
thing,
so
yeah, we're even now.
I didn't think he was going to come out victorious in this.
No, I mean, we spoke about that on the Takeover preview show, that like, because of, we were depending, like, was the tag match going to go on first? And because Adam Cole was involved in both matches, we didn't actually expect it. Like, my pick was the Velveteen Dream, which...
Velveteen Dream was the MVP of that match.
Let me get to that. Because that was, like, out of all the spots, Velveteen had up for me, like, his Death Valley driver, purple rainmaker, everything off the top of the ladder, which was not even sturdy, may I add.
Oh.
Her dream.
Was he like the least trend in that match?
I think he was the youngest. I wouldn't say he was the least experienced, but he was definitely the youngest.
Yeah. See that Death Valley driver on the bridged ladder? I mean, that was uncomfortable to watch. I think he's going to botch this. But the fact he was able to pull it off, that's...
The dream does not botch.
Or if he did botch, he would just go, the dream has no memory of that. But yeah, it was so shaky, and there was, you know, with the ladders, the rungs are not that wide. I think one misstep and he's going through it. But the fact he was able to do it was, you know, it's testament to how talented all these guys are.
It's phenomenal. It's a 5-star match.
Another thing, well, that was said on the Takeover Pre-Road show that week, was we did say we could see Undisputed Era coming out winning everything. But it's just the mechanics of how it goes.
It was the logistics of what was going to go first and in.
I don't know if anyone said Roderick Strong would have turned on Pete Dunne.
No, James did say that someone was going to turn and join the Undisputed Era, but we didn't actually think it would be Roddy turning on Pete.
That was the shocker of the night as well. I think... You know,
I'm surprised Pete didn't snap his neck.
Yeah, on a show that was so well balanced as well, you had an amazing moment at the start of the ladder match. The moment in the middle, you know, Roddy turns heel, helps the Undisputed Era win. They've got a ton of momentum going forward. They've just won everything that there is to win. And then, obviously, the main event speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about talking about that ladder match is, if you kind of thought that match would have been match of the night in many people's eyes if you just... the way it was going, however,
a hell of a spectacle.
Yeah, but it didn't end up being match of the night, because we had our second match on that one. It was probably one of the most hyped matches, I think, in NXT history. We had Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano 1. Nobody felt that same emotion other than Sarah.
I still feel that pain today.
And she wears a Tommaso Ciampa shirt.
I know, right? I own a Johnny Gargano t-shirt as well. That's the irony.
She's been converted.
No, I've always...
People are so annoyed.
I've always liked Ciampa. Let's just face it. I have always liked him, but, like, I was a fan of Johnny in the beginning, but, like, this was, like, the start of my epic downfall.
This is someone in denial.
No, well, yeah, absolutely.
Oh no! Like, even just thinking back, like, I knew that, like, this had started off after the epic heartbreak that I felt and led me to epic trust issues. Let's just say that.
Watermarks.
I still don't trust it. I can't even describe how many emotions I was going through when it came to this match, because again, it was unsanctioned, and I'm like, he's gonna kill Johnny. Holy crap, he's gonna kill Johnny.
It was just like Dave, the hype to it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And the two of them are fantastic in the ring. But the thing about it intrigued me, we hadn't seen Ciampa in the ring for so long. It was always that question mark of, can he go to the high level we know he is with that knee injury as his first match back? And he delivered.
He was away for a good, 9 months or something because of that ACL tear?
10 months, I think he was out.
Yeah. The fact that he came back and put on that kind of performance with Gargano. You got the impression, you know, that obviously you'd seen these two as DIY, and, you know, they don't. Yeah, I'm going to make Sarah cry here. So they travelled the world together. Ciampa was Gargano's best man at his wedding. And to see them two go at it as if they legitimately wanted to kill each other.
Damn, ruin those wedding pictures.
Great 12 up.
Yeah, and Ciampa, the storytelling behind it, Ciampa comes out with no music. He comes in with this, he looks like a main event star. Both of them do. Hmm. And some of the storytelling and the spots in that match, I think they couldn't have done it any better to show how legitimately these guys hated each other.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of a big finish in a match, and, and I think this one was great storytelling towards the end of it with the throwback to the Cruiserweight Classic with them both kneeling down, and then Johnny just literally does him in with that knee brace. It's perfect storytelling.
Yeah, it's good as well, and I think... Yeah, because I saw it when he swings, what was it, with a title? Well, not a title, what was he swinging?
The crutch.
The crutch, yeah, and he just catches him in a submission, and that was it. His eye as well, which is, Jesus.
All the big blocks.
But no, but yeah. I think that one of the first NXT matches I watched was with Ciampa and Gargano, and when they were tag teaming, the two out of three falls, and it just was amazing. And like seeing like highlights of it today, it was like a hell of a match. And that Ciampa's finisher from the top rope, the power bomb into the
knees.
That's brutal.
Is that Project Ciampa?
Yeah, that was amazing. But no, I think that kind of story, like, you don't really see that done well anymore, where it's like the tag team and then the tunnel. I know it's like as old as bloody wrestling as the tag teams tunneling on each other, but it's a hell of a story when it's done right. And I think that match itself,
you've got people crying.
I know. I'm sorry, Sarah, but
I didn't see it coming.
You know what my favourite spot of the whole match was? I think Ciampa lifts the mats off and Gargano powerbombs Ciampa onto the concrete. And the fans chant, "You deserve it." That's how much heel heat Ciampa was getting, and I absolutely loved it.
Nuclear heel heat is amazing.
He comes out of he comes out with no music, he has the trench coat on, he is the biggest bastard in NXT, and you can tell the fans think of him that way because he is a proper bastard.
Yeah, we highlighted him quite a lot in last week's show, just how great a year he has. And I think they've had three matches, and I think they kind of it was so hard for him to live up to the other two ones. And I think this is kind of why we picked this one, because the more emotion this one is, the Johnny's career on the line. It was amazing that the last one was for the NXT Championship, yet we're picking this one, which had just that.
I think that's just because that was the first one since the epic breakup, chucking him into the LED board and me crying myself to sleep that night.
Yeah, I think that third match though, I think they were kind of backed into a corner with Aleister Black's injury a bit. So I don't know, I didn't feel the hype with the third one as it did, but I mean the second one was just as good, but I still prefer the first one.
Well, see what you were saying about it's funny we're picking this one even though it wasn't for the NXT Championship, but if you look at it, it did main event over the championships. So I think it's only right that we did pick this one, as obviously the story tip line went over instead of the championships and whatever. So
would you pick this or the North American title for the best one?
The best one?
Aye.
Ladder match for me.
Ladder match.
Alan.
Ladder match.
So as much as I do like a good ladder match, but Ciampa and Gargano.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I mean, as much as I enjoy a spot fested ladder match, Ciampa Gargano and the storytelling was just
It was a spot fest.
That's not a bad thing.
I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying the Gargano Ciampa story and how it was told was just done to perfection.
Yeah, there's a better story in that match. Like, fair enough. The spectacle's great, but
now it's time for Dave's favourite portion of this show: Scottish wrestling.
Yay!
I'm a nice W mark now.
No, you're not. were you at the Hydro?
I said that sarcastically.
Right, now this is going to be more Dave.
Now remember, Dave, you can get a season ticket for the first four years.
Now Dave's 10 quid, am I right?
Yes.
Now this was one, this match, it was hard to pick between this one and the other match I had earlier in the year, but the first one, I'm going to go with Alan, this one, Lionheart, Polo, Shugs.
This is, for me, the best match I've seen in any wrestling this year. Loved it. It had absolutely having the storytelling, anticipation of it all, it was just tremendous. You know, we'll talk about this later on as well. When Lionheart kicks out of the Styles Clash, I nearly jumped out of my skin. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, he let him do it.
He let
the one guy in the company can't actually stand do the move and nearly killed him. And two, it's a week up. He just jumped up after one and you were just like,
Have you watched the back on demand? Billy's just as excited as you were.
just for the listeners, in case you're watching demand, you'll see a wee huddle bouncing around. That's us. That's me, Stephen, Nathan, and Ross.
And two random guys up next.
And two randoms coming up today in the huddle, because I am a new. At this point, it was a huddle.
We were moving up and down.
I was a neutral guy this match. I couldn't care who less who won. Kind of liked both equally. But by God, this was just fantastic all the way through. It's one of those matches where I was actually scared to blink in case I miss some.
You were a neutral, but I wasn't a neutral. And these two shit.
I just love toying these, because one minute I'd be cheering for Jackie, next minute I'd be cheering for Lionheart. It's just the disgusted faces round about me. It's like, I don't care who wins. I love it. It was great.
Sarah, you were in the front row and you looked really annoyed.
Well, I was happy singing away to, you know, Jackie's theme music with my cowboy hat on until Lionheart went and ruined it.
Well, Lionheart's theme tune's better to sing along to.
Yeah,
that's great. Best music in wrestling right now, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't disagree on that, but you can't say that Jackie's wasn't really catchy.
It's catchy, but it's not say my name, Mr.
But,
there ain't no easy role name, nothing when there's life for free. There you go.
Yeah, I got the fear because the camera guy was in my face the entirety of that entrance, and I'm like, shit, if I stop singing, I'm going to look like a complete idiot. And yes,
Stacey next to you.
I know, I have Stacey next to me. That's not nice, Stephen.
Well, no, Stacey would do all the singing, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Stacey would do all the singing.
I had Stacey in one
side. Just give me the speed.
It didn't come out how I imagined it.
I had Stacey on one side, I had wee Laura on the other side, and Laura loves the song just as much as I did, so it was okay. But, it was hard to pick between this and their Baromania match. Like, I did say that I preferred the Baromania match, not just because of the result, but only because I thought that the crowd was hotter for it. But this time around, the match quality was much. It was so much better than the Barrowlands.
Yeah, it was. It's that kind of way up of crowd reaction or match finish was definitely shook.
Oh yeah.
It was like. Two out of the three were the better. I mean the Barons has got better acoustics,
I thought. I mean, well, Jackie getting you know, that guitar over the head is like, oh my god, Jackie.
As someone who used to work at the Barrowlands, I endorse that comment.
I mean, like,
Dave's one's got especially a slow
build-up. Dave, stop trying to put yourself over.
I know, the slow build-up to this match as well, when they started, you know, literally lining up chasing Jackie around the ring for about 10 minutes.
Oh yeah.
You know, literally, and you're like, and it's one of those moments that most people are going, oh, for God's sake, get in the bloody ring.
Just catch him.
Right, but we're all going, is he going to take him? Is he going to take him? You know, it's like, going to take him. And it was brilliant. Honestly, this match had anything, anyone is like not into wrestling, this is a match you need to watch, because this is WWE quality. And as I said, for me, this is the best match I've seen anywhere in wrestling this year.
I mean, question. If we talk about matches, so WWE can kind of endorse it, WWE quality. We've got the second Scottish wrestling match we've got here.
Oh, yes.
Good housekeeping, too.
Yeah.
This is a
Quacko, it had the match, the humour, it had everything.
The sponge is bigger than the bathtub.
Get much better than that match, to be honest.
The sponge pot is great because he pile drivers over the sponge.
What do you mean?
It's like, what the hell?
That's my favourite moment of the match.
That is one of my favourite moments. I mean, that was great.
Mine has to be the mop off.
The mop off.
Two pumps.
That's it. Ready? I challenge you to a mop off. So as I got that, I went, what the hell?
Can I just say, I do think I was the only person in the arena that didn't get soaked because I hid like a big wee.
I didn't get soaked.
Oh no, I was front row, so yeah. I couldn't have
watched
it. Oh, I think
you hid by me.
I hid by you, actually.
Now, Andy, as a trainee of GPWA, does this type of match you're regularly trained?
Oh, definitely not. No, I don't, I've not seen a big sponge hide.
Have they got rid of the sponge at the asylum? Because they still had it there for a while.
Oh, I don't know.
Is the bath still there?
I don't know, I haven't been in like 3 weeks.
Oh, well,
do you have the old broken washing machine? I recommend you.
I remember seeing that about doing training.
Just say that you'll take the sponge off your hands.
I'll try and
get it. We'll have it as a sort of souvenir.
Take this big sponge out of this.
It's amazing rewatching it on demand.
I don't think Dallas will care.
I remember when I watched it, because Lad Bible shared it, they were just like, look at this wrestling match. I was like, that's where I saw it. Just the.
You see me rewatch it, so the commentary is great as we it's only a single of we'll buy another one. and it's very cling film trophy. Liam, it's only a thing.
Yeah, see,
it's not just a
scene. Can I say, this was the first time I'd ever seen Liam Thompson fight, because he returned to Shugs. I'm sort of new to ICW in the last year or so, and by God, the guy's a brilliant entertainer. He's a brilliant technical wrestler, but the humour the man can bring
out. I love him so much.
Oh, fantastic. Props to him, by the way.
You need to watch Back on Demand when he had his homeless gimmick. That was incredible as well. It was only for a very, very short time after the first Good Housekeeping.
He's got a beard for it now as well.
It was for the very, very first Good Housekeeping.
There's a thing of beard envy.
Oh, I've got beard envy, mate. Total beard envy. I love the beard.
But no, like, see, if you get a chance to watch back, just like in the lead up before Liam went off injured, his homeless gimmick between Good Housekeeping 1 and between him going off injured, greatest thing ever. I'm so gutted we never got to see where that went.
He was begging for money off the crowd.
Coming and wrestling with like a sock and a boot. Best thing ever.
But you know what, can I just say as well, I mean, when I'm looking forward to a match, I'm hoping, you know, the wrestling quality is like, not necessarily like technical masterclass, but I hope it's like, semi-decent. But to
I didn't
be honest,
even care
match,
about wrestling quality in this match.
For this match, I just didn't care. It was just the sheer hilarity of it, you know, that just made it for me.
It was the reaction at the show before that, where he goes, came back for two things. I've done one by beating Andy, and the next one
sink,
is Wolfgang! And the crowd just go crazy.
Yes.
And see somebody sort of new and sort of coming around to ICW and catching up with all the things over the years. Wolfgang is not the type of guy you associate with this match.
Not at all.
He's a big, strong, muscular guy, and he's a brilliant potential heel, and you just think, what are you doing here, mate? You don't belong to us. And he's
not
this
all leads back to the square goal when he took Liam Fink off on me.
He's now on NXT UK as well, which is
nice point there.
But you know, I think the one spot that really made me convinced, like, because I remember when I saw it, I literally had to look away and I was like, oh, it was the scoop slam onto the plug.
We
talk quite a lot in this
show. I
think there
was no training for that, Andy.
Yeah, I was watching that thing. No, don't stepping do it. Don't do it. You were literally we talk quite a lot in this show. Like, we see all these things. We see all these big spots, and we're like, oh, cool. But the ones like Jimmy Havoc and the paper cuts and the scoop slam on the plug is just like, no. Like, see,
it's because I feel like things that you felt.
Edge spearing Mick Foley through the flaming table at WrestleMania, I was like, oh my god, I didn't even wince at that. Bitten scoop slam on a plug though, I winced at that.
The bath kind of got me, it's like, I fell in a bath, it hurts.
Oh yeah.
That hurts, yeah.
I think that's just because it's everyday things, I mean. Yeah.
And he just couldn't get it, probably.
Oh, I know, so I was sliding back into the sink, I went, oh no.
Oh, it's just.
It's making him eat the tinfoil as well, you're like.
It's storytelling to a T, but two of the things I love the best about it, Thomas holding the sink up like a title.
Yes!
Yes. And Simon's quality.
And the owner of that particular sink.
See, I like how they sort of got Simon to do a bit of a comedy angle on that.
But not first, the most over thing in 2018 was Liam Thompson's sink, and that was just from the second half of the year.
It's great as well when he kind of, right before the match, goes, now that the ring's sufficiently tinfoiled.
It's also when he keeps chasing after his sink. It's like, sink!
But two fantastic matches for two different reasons, we're going to have to pick one of the two of them for a Scottish match. Dave, what are you going for?
Good housekeeping.
And good housekeeping.
Line up, Jackie.
Oh, no, I've got to go with my boy Liam and his good housekeeping too.
It's obvious what you're going to say.
Why
are
you going to ask
that? I don't know, I thought you would appreciate the sheer technical masterclass that was like.
Comedy wrestling, technical wrestling.
I appreciate the technical masterclass and everything. I mean, it was a great bar. Of course, good housekeeping.
Just in the small chance that they are listening, good housekeeping is the second best match I've seen this year. Just saying.
Oh, it's fantastic, but see, we're going through six of the matches across wrestling this year that to kind of go down. Now we've got, in the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to quickly go through some of the other ones that were chosen by some of our panellists, some of our listeners. First of all, I'm going to time this. Sarah, Kwaku, you have 1 minute to talk about Sugar Dunkington versus Gene Money and Zombie Lumberjack.
Oh, where do you begin with that though? I mean, a zombie lumberjack match. I mean, who would have thought of that?
First time ever.
It was the first time ever.
Historic!
I wouldn't quite call it historic. I mean, wee Jimmy died for their sins.
At all, poor Jimmy.
Poor wee Jimmy, but I love Gene Money. I mean, I think like I can bracket him as a comedy wrestler because, let's just face it, he is. Like, not to mention he gave a good match with Martina as well. But I didn't know what to expect from that match though.
I knew it would be amazing, and I was I've said it once, but the line of when they were both outside the ring, and this is just genius in comedy right here. They're outside the ring, and they're at opposite ends, and the zombies are choosing who to go to, either Sugar Dunkerton or Gene Money. And Sugar goes, no, he's white meat, he's full of protein, obviously.
And they start running towards Gene.
Obviously referencing chicken breast, which is white meat. And then Gene goes, no, he's dark meat, he's nice, tender, and juicy. And that's obviously referencing thigh and drumstick. So they go
back.
And he's no, like, don't go back. And then Gene goes, his name is Sugar, he's literally sweet.
Comedy wrestling at its finest now.
That was the best thing ever. Best thing ever.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't talk about these extra matches and go to Alan without talking about Charlotte and Asuka.
Oh yeah.
The match that literally got the neighbours down.
Literally took the house down. Yeah, it was fantastic. It's the only match in WWE this whole year I actually screamed out like a little girl at. Not only the fact that Asuka lost her streak, which I was totally shocked by, but that's WrestleMania for you now. The streak goes to end. But I thought this match had everything, technically. It was brilliant, it was an absolute masterpiece. It's a shame he's not been selected, but I can understand why Becky Charlotte is. They've got that, you know, person that they're close, they're friends, they can bring that rivalry up. You know, it was a great match, I loved it.
Yeah, well, it was a fantastic match, and Omen just lost it because of that other match on it. Now, Andy, British wrestling's came at the forefront in America type idea, and one of the best examples I think of it was Undisputed Era versus British Strongstar.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen much of this match at all? Has I missed that uni man?
I have not, actually.
Have you not? That's what Dave's here. Dave?
Yeah?
You've seen a lot of this match.
Yeah, fair bit of it. I think, yeah, in the Royal Albert Hall, I think, you know, there wasn't a better place for that match to take place, particularly because, you know, Undisputed Era meant to be the cocky heel, the cool club of the NXT brand, and then you've got three homegrown talents with British Strong Style.
Yeah, fantastic tag team match.
I will. Yeah, I think the only thing that, I mean, while I thought that match was good, I preferred when it was Undisputed Era versus Larkin and Birch.
It was a great match as well. So many great matches. And actually, I talked earlier on about you breaking a big show, ICW virginity. Yeah. The one that came up, the Queen of Insanity match between Kaylee and Viper.
Oh, that was great. That was just, it was so brutal. Just the, I'm trying to remember what actually happened.
A lot of thumbtacks.
It was a lot of thumbtacks.
Cheese grater as well.
How many thumbtacks was it?
Well, it was a bin full.
16 bajillion, kajillion, jillion.
Or 60,000 didgeridoos.
Yeah, it was just the barbed wire.
It was 80,000.
There was lots of thumbtacks!
Yeah. You're just saying, no, it was the barbed wire finish for she.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, oh no.
Crossface with a barbed wire.
You hear a squeal when you watch your back. It's a bit of
I'm sort of just watch.
Try being within like 20 feet of that.
No, thanks.
You could hear her screaming, and I was just like,
talking about absolute crazy matches, one man who came up a lot from the listeners was Mr. Wakey Whiplash.
Of course.
Whiplash Havoc.
Oh.
And Whiplash BT at the Baddest.
Oh, no.
That was my first like real extreme match I'd ever seen in the
flesh. Dave, you look like you've seen a ghost. I've seen clips of that.
I won't lie, I literally thought Mikey actually ripped her artery because the blood was squirting out.
Quacker's still got glass in his hair from the
I had glass in my hair as well.
That was an utterly incredible match, and it got to the point it did become uncomfortable to watch.
Oh yeah, I mean, see, when I spoke to Mikey as well, he mentioned about putting this match together. It's like, oh, how far do you want to go with this? Does it want to be like the Tournament of Death? And it came to the idea of the razor boards, and Jimmy just went, no. And you never thought you would hear Jimmy Havoc say no to something. I can't imagine what that match would be like. But
I don't know if I want to, actually.
I don't
want to
know what that match would be like either, but like that glass panel was like the first introductory thing, and they're like, oh, the garage won't care. Well, I think that's why they positioned it where they did at the Barrowlands. Yeah. Like, it was supposed to be flat, not in the corner. Because they didn't go as far. I went in Thomas's eye, but...
Oh, that was brilliant. Sarah, you'll be pleased to hear that there was a pick of a match from the Edinburgh Discovery. Joe Coffey and Christopher Saint.
Oh my God, yes. I love that match, actually. I mean... I don't even know what it is. I mean, Christopher Saint is an all-round amazing entertainer. And I actually thought he was within inches of getting that Y Division title. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Joe Coffey to pieces, but it's sort of been like nobody's been able to challenge him, and it's just been a walk in the park. And that's when Chris Saint came so close to it, yeah, all by nefarious means and a nice.
He had a three count, didn't he?
He did have a three count. He did technically win it.
He won it. And then
he did technically win it, but the restart of the match, which I was pissed off about, man. I was pissed.
Kwaku, another one that was picked a couple of times, was the Source 4-way match at Lennoxtown.
Wow,
yes.
So that was Speedball Mick Bailey, Kieran Kelly, Scott McManus and Luke Matthews, and all four of them. Dave's actually seen two of them, I think. Yeah, he's seen
you would have seen two of them.
You've seen two of them.
Were the early characters?
There were the, yeah.
Before, we've seen Kieran Kelly.
He's definitely seen Kieran Kelly.
Yeah. What an actual properly good match, and it's like all four of them all shone, like properly shone, and they had some spots, they had great speed, technical wrestling power, they had about everything, and they kept the crowd on edge and on hype. And it was like one of those matches where any of them could have won. It was just brilliant.
Yeah, it was a fantastic match. We also talked earlier on about 2 5-star matches from NXT. There's another 5-star match at NXT Day this year, Andrade Cien Almas.
Yeah.
Versus Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, I didn't watch this match in full, unfortunately, because, I don't know, I just never quite been as a fan of Andrade as I'd like to have been. Because, yeah.
I'll be honest, I kind of get where you're coming from. There's just...
I don't know.
There's something missing.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's something missing
from him. Like on SmackDown,
Russell, he's not a talented guy, but he needs that. There's something missing when he gets it. Actually, when you're talking about
he's missing the guy. Factor. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, I can tell you something missing from the two of you. Decent eyes. What the hell are you
decent
watching?
Eyes. No, listen. don't get me wrong. I think his in-ring work is outstanding, and I don't think he and Gargano could have put on a better match if you asked him.
Right, before this gets awkward, go back. And WrestleMania opening matches, there's not many better in recent memory than the one we saw this year between Balor, Rollins,
The Triple Threat. I really enjoyed Rollins' entrance with the Game of Thrones theme. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, now you've got three good talents. Obviously, Finn Balor and Rollins is amazing, and obviously the Miz is just getting better and better as he gets older. Really, you know.
Huge props. He thought he was going to struggle, but he didn't. He was right in the match. Yeah. Everything was brilliant.
There's so many great matches. I mean, Sarah Allen as well. Kieran Kelly, Leighton Buzzard have had a couple of classics as well.
Oh, yeah,
they two will go far.
Oh hell yeah! I mean, there's no question about it. Two absolutely shining talents that. They work so well together. I mean, I don't know if that's the fact that they're very, very similar in their styles, because they are both fast-paced, high flyers. I mean, let's just face it, Leighton shooting star press and all that is so beautiful.
Andy, you done much training with Leighton?
Yeah, I've seen him train. Yeah, I've not actually done anything like with him, but he's great. He's like, you can tell he's got like character and that. Seen some of the stuff online, and I think one of the first JPWA matches he was in, it was funny, it wasn't blonde in it, but
no, he's here dyed blonde today. Quack.
Can I just say for the record, that was a big surprise. he messaged me saying that, yeah, you'll see me soon, you'll see a big change. I'm like, okay, I was like, whoa, when I saw
that. It was great, and ICW, Fear and Love, and he's gonna go far.
So they're two guys hopefully we'll talk a lot more about. We'll do this again next year, but that's just been some of the great matches that people have talked about in the last year or so. If we've not mentioned your match, then as I said earlier on the show, just give us a message on any social media channels. You can either message us individually or message us on at Suplex Retweet.
Sorry, I forgot to say every match Alexander Darling McCallum did in 2018 should be on that list.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
We were not threatened to make that statement.
Not the slightest.
So yeah, that has been... That has been the best matches of 2018. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the best moments of 2018. So while you have a wee break, we're going to play the wee promo of this just to get the sheer emotion of what we saw on the lead up to Gargano Ciampa 1. This is the promo package that led up to this historic feud.
Historic.
Need Stacey for her story, she's great for it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, yours is good, but so is Stacey. You and Stacey as a combination work well.
I love it.
Before I dig myself in a fucking hole, we shall be back in 5 minutes after this Ciampa Gargano promo. We'll see you in a bit.
This is Bad Boy Liam Thompson, and you're listening to Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet.
We are DIY, and we will have our moment.
This is like everything that we've ever worked for.
Over 12 years.
NXT Tag Team titles, match of the year now, dream come true.
We've traveled the world together for the last 12 years.
DIY is us together.
Why?
I saw you as my brother, my best friend, and I didn't think that was something you were even capable of.
You want answers? You did it to yourself, Johnny. Because you're selfish. You're selfish. we even going to talk about the fact that I tore my damn ACL in that match? DIY was carried by me. It's always been about you, though. It's never been about us.
I think that's something you conjured up in your sick, deluded mind, but DIY was something special.
I decided finally, this isn't our moment. This is my moment. When I return, I will be the most dangerous son of a in all of NXT.
And then you weren't there.
I need to be Johnny Gargano again. I need to be Johnny freaking Wrestling.
I thought I had it all figured out, but I didn't. That thought, it kept coming up.
And then, bam! Takeover Philadelphia was just the start. You're stupid enough to put your career on the line? If I can't win the NXT Championship, I'll leave NXT. You're selfish. I wanted you to have your moment, and I wanted to rip it straight from your heart.
You cost me my NXT career. You've taken everything away from me.
As a man, you can strike me down.
He's gone! Gone!
But as a symbol, I will live forever. My job is on the line. If I beat you, I get reinstated in NXT.
The reason that this match is unsanctioned is because NXT knows what I'm going to do to you.
I don't care what happens to me anymore. I'm coming to New Orleans to beat the hell out of you.
Take over New Orleans. I take your spirit, your soul, your heart, Johnny Wrestling, and everything it stands for ends.
I will finally have my moment.
This is my moment.
My name is Mikey Whiplash, and you are listening to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Welcome back to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. I'm Stephen Wilson. I'm joined by Sarah, Alan, Andy, Dave and Kwaku. And we are talking about best matches and moments of 2018. Before we go on to the moments part of the show, I'd like to thank Mikey Whiplash and Liam Thompson for providing those nice wee sound bites. You can hear our interview with Mikey Whiplash, the one that seems to be getting the Scottish wrestling world buzzing, on all podcasting sites, Android, Apple, or even Spotify. Just search for Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. Over 100 shows there. Interviews, panel discussions, you name it, it's there. I may have overhyped that slightly.
But stay hyped.
All right, Mojo. Right, let's talk about best moments of 2018. So obviously we talked a lot about the matches, and some of the stuff will probably fall into this part of it, but the first moment is one that doesn't really fall into a match. Dave, you were the best one to go to this one, as you kind of talked about this earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. It is the return from retirement of Daniel Bryan.
Yes, yes, yes.
You hosted the show at WrestleMania week with Daniel Bryan. What was your thoughts on this return? Did you think it was ever going to happen again?
Honestly, no. I thought when he announced his retirement in 2016 because of his whole concussion setbacks, I'm thinking, oh, this is a sad day for the wrestling world. But then you see reports, right, some doctors outside of WWE are clearing him, and you think, maybe, just maybe, there's a chance that he might come back, if maybe not in WWE, but maybe somewhere else, they might clear him. But I think when the announcement came in that WWE had officially cleared Bryan, I think that was the most tuned into SmackDown of the entire year, because they wanted to see Bryan make his official comeback. And it wasn't just the fact that he actually was able to come back to the ring. I think it was a lot to do with the story behind it as well. It was a really sort of touching story about how that's all he ever wanted to do. He loved to wrestle and he would do anything to get back. And the support he had from, obviously, Brie, who he clearly loves very much because he teared up every time he talked about her. Mm. And just to see him back in the ring as well, it's something you never thought you'd see, but you're so glad it actually happened.
Yeah, I mean, Alan, what was your thoughts on how it actually happened? It was kind of just done randomly on social media. Would you have liked to have seen it done a different way?
Yeah, I think WWE shot themselves in the foot there. I think, agreed, it's a great moment, but let's be honest, if they did that without telling anyone and Bryan comes out and gives that news, that pop is instantaneous. You know, social media is going to ape right away. The viewing figures are going to jump in. And I feel they kind of lost the surprise factor in that. But it's brilliant to see him back, but I do feel they shot himself the foot in the situation.
See, I disagree with that, as I think it gives people a reason to watch SmackDown to do that. It's like, fair enough for that small part where it was like, it was kind of, is this actually happening or not? And it gave people reason to like go and watch SmackDown, and I think made it more special that we all knew that he was coming back.
I mean, obviously, there is obviously different perspectives on it, but obviously he came back, but he's now been back for probably, it's been about 9 months now. Sarah, what's your thoughts on actually his return rather than the actual moment itself?
Well, it's, for me, it's actually been a bit underwhelming because there's been that expectation of he was one of the best wrestlers in the world before he became injured. Mm-hmm. And it's just been kind of keep up with that same pace. Will he be able to wrestle in the same styles, or can he do certain things? Like, it's, everyone's had to be extremely careful, and I think that's sort of halted it a little bit. But I think it, just in my eyes, there's some things that he's not as polished as he was before, and he's still pulling out these same moves, and I'm like, be bloody careful, because I'm sitting there going, like, if you hit your neck in the wrong bit, you're done for. So just watch what you're doing. But it gives me the fear every single time he's in the ring.
Well, one interesting thing, and I think you brought this up when we were talking before the show, was you quite like what's currently happening with him, that kind of heel turn that he's got.
Yeah, I was also on the Daniel Bryan show, and I think I said that. I said, I feel like when he came out of retirement, I think we're going to, the way the story was going, I think they're going to turn him heel at WrestleMania. So I think they had the plans, but I quite like that because it gives it, like, it's a bit fresh, and, you know, and I really like what they're doing with him, and I'm looking forward to see where it actually goes.
But it's just great kind of seeing him back, yeah, especially because I mean, the moment when he retired that year was probably one of the most heartbreaking
really
moments.
Sad.
Yeah.
TV.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was in 2016.
Yeah, I don't know a single person who didn't cry. 2016
was a bad year. Yeah. And, you know, like, when people come back from, like, retirement, it's always quite underwhelming. I think, you know, with Daniel Bryan, and it was like he forced to retire, and he always, and, you know, it was such an amazing
He has had to alter his moveset a bit as well, and, you know, like, yeah, he wasn't as polished as he was some years ago, but, you know, again, that could be down to, like, age or ring rust, because he's, like, late 30s now, 37. Ish, yeah. Well, and you see when he does his running drop kicks in the corner, he doesn't go like full pelt. He almost sort of hangs onto the rope so he doesn't land on his head, unintentionally. Mm-hmm. But he's doing a lot more sort of ground-based submission style stuff. So anything to sort of avoid head or neck contact as much as possible. But then Survivor Series comes around and basically Brock Lesnar's just throwing him around like nobody's business. Didn't even care. Though what I think was probably the first or second German suplex. He literally oh god, that's it. He's done.
Yeah, but obviously he's now WWE champion. It's interesting to see what 2019 is going to bring for him. Now, we've kind of, in the last few months, I think a lot of us have got to say that the Raw product's kind of underwhelmed us. However, there was one night in November where the Raw product got absolutely amazing. It was when SmackDown came in. Sarah, Becky and SmackDown invading Raw.
Becky leading the charge. I mean, you know they do it every year, that one of them's going to invade the other, and 9 times out of 10 it's always SmackDown leading it into Raw, because that's how you kick off the big hype in the week leading up to the Survivor Series. I'm getting there's four, I was bound to get one of them. But when it started off and it's like there was a backstage segment and Becky had Ronda in the Disarmor, you're like, just I'm sitting there laughing, going, yeah, go on, Becky. This is
amazing.
I don't
think all of us had quite that maniacal laugh. It was just like, I was more like, yes, not like, yeah.
But, I was like, on yourself.
It was the fact that, like, she got up and she just started marching out the ring. You hear her, like, you just thought maybe she's just going to march out the arena, that'll be fine, and they'll all invade from the audience. You hear a music hit, and I don't think I've heard the biggest cheer in the entire year when it came to that. Like, they're just marching out to the ring, head held high. It's just like, fucking come at me.
I don't think Carmella's had a pop like that all year. Alan, that image at the end of the segment, bloody face in the crowd, arms spread wide. Is this Becky Lynch's Stone Cold Steve Austin moment?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you can class it the same Stone Cold, but yeah, it's definitely a hard moment.
I'm kind of going with the kind of WrestleMania 13 bloody face and the sharpshooter type things.
Well, fair enough. Plus, also, she's one of the only few people on the world who can still look stunning with a broken nose and a bloody face.
Oh, I know.
I dare anyone to challenge that. She still looked at it and went, wow. And I seen the video the next night where she found that she wasn't actually going to get to fight Ronda, and she had no makeup on. She's even better looking without the makeup. And a broken nose. You're like,
You know
what? How have you not seen this?
You know what I found amazing? It's like when she broke her nose, it was still straight.
Oh yeah.
She's like, oh my god, it's just like, all right, mom, it's still straight. I don't know how, but I'm thankful it's still straight.
But yeah, she will be looking back and see when, for me, she has to go into Hall of Fame at the end of her career. That has to be the screenshot for it. Her going like that, with the bloody nose, arms open.
Irish one.
That's it.
But the thing about it, obviously, we didn't end up getting the Survivor Series match as a result of it, Dave, but look what we've kind of got off of it nowadays. We've got the potential of Tuck Taylor on the WrestleMania match, yeah. And we've also got nuclear heel heat for Nia Jax.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm glad you brought up the nuclear heel heat for Nia Jax. I think that moment needed a revitalisation, and boy, was that an unintentional way to do it. But yeah, it just goes to show, you know, if Raw's doing rubbish, what's the only way to make it better? Put Becky on it, and the rest of the SmackDown women while you're at it. But yeah, it was kind of like, a lot of people were very unhappy the fact that this match had to get called off, but again, I've seen rumours floating around like maybe it was done intentionally so that Becky didn't get squashed because she was the hottest superstar in the company and probably still is. So the fact that
getting punched in the face like that was intentional.
And yet she stands back up and saying, was that your best shot? No, that was the impression.
There's a recent interview she did in the last week or so, and she said after the punch, she's on autopilot.
Yeah.
So she's pretty much just going with the motions. She has absolutely no clue what the hell she's doing.
Yeah. So I think the sort of the Nia Jax punch, while it was frustrating within the first couple of days, the silver lining out of it is we might actually get Ronda Becky at WrestleMania, and I think that's better than what we would have get in Survivor Series.
Totally agree, because as I said previous shows, I think Becky was being squashed, and I think it would have been right if that happened. So for me,
just in the studio.
Right. Oh yeah,
I'm right there, Reese. But for me, if that match is going to happen, that has to headline WrestleMania. That is the match.
Just to follow up on that as well, I think not only were they sort of protecting Becky from getting squashed, I think they were also protecting Ronda as well from the backlash, because you know if she'd gone over, people would have hated her, and she's easily the WWE's sort of representative for leading the women's division. You know, she's the one that they've invested so much in.
She was kind of like, that was one of the first times you kind of seen him exposed. We kind of talked about it last week, that she was doing really well until this whole thing with Becky, and then she started to kind of look a wee bit out of her depth. It's just because Becky's on such great form, obviously since SummerSlam she's been absolutely red hot, both in the ring, on the promos, you know, Twitter, come on, Instagram. Becky Lynch is killing it, even though I think she's going to lose the SmackDown Live Women's Championship this coming Sunday. WWE's not exactly the best year, but there are kind of two moments that kind of stand out. This is obviously that hard point for you all. Which of the two moments from WWE would you say is the best? Dave.
Becky on Raw.
Andy. Daniel Bryan.
Becky every day of the week.
You don't need to ask me.
Quacking.
Becky.
That's the biggest majority I think we've had so far on the show tonight.
As he says with a massive grin on his face.
Say, I'm Daniel Bryan till I die, so.
Bryan till I die.
Anyway, you know, that'd be nuts.
Becky has been absolutely brilliant, as we highlighted on the show last week. Absolutely phenomenal year. Let's go back to NXT. Now, one of the things we kind of talked about when we were doing this show is NXT has been more known this year for matches more than moments. So it's quite hard to kind of get some moments from NXT, but two of the ones I thought kind of stood out were best. This one particular was a great phenomenal moment, Sarah. Ricochet and Velveteen Dream, the front flip.
Just that noise that I made said it all. I mean, I love Ricochet. I love the Velveteen Dream. So see when that build up for that match was happening, I think I was the happiest person in my life at that point. And like, this was one of the moments that I personally picked as being my favourite moment of 2018 was Ricochet is known for defying gravity. We've talked about it numerous times. Like when he had the match with Lewis Garvin, that like missile drop, it's like he's floating
straight off the bat.
It's like he's floating in midair, and the man does defy gravity. He's the most incredible high flyer that I've ever seen, and he's not even actually a high flyer. That's what I love about it. So when it came to him running and just front flipping over to the Dream, because it's like whatever you can do, the Dream can do better. And Ricochet's like, you want a bit? Runs, just does a front flip and just lands right in front of him. No stumbling at all, he went, prove it, and I was like, oh, this is amazing!
Yeah, Dave, Dream's face helped make that segment, I think.
He took the word right out of my mouth. I think Dream's face was everybody's expression when that happened. It's just eyes wide open, jaw dropped, and, I mean, you don't expect anything less from Ricochet, do you? I mean, this particular moment wasn't the one I picked, but by God, this was a very close second, in my opinion.
Yeah, One of the things I love about having Andy on the show is obviously he's a trainee, so I can ask him things like this. Andy, how would you grade the difficulty of a front flip from the ring to the outside, not touching the ropes and on your feet?
Well, I could barely get over the top rope. Like jumping over, and you see, I when I watched that, I just was like, wow, that is amazing, but fuck that. I'm not sorry, I didn't mean to swear. I couldn't think of anything else to say. But it was amazing. But it just, I just kept thinking, I was like, what if he just landed just a little bit wrong? It'd have just been... Oh,
I think it was a sort of a mini sort of stuff, like maybe one step forward when he landed, just to sort of catch his balance. But apart from that, it was flawless.
When he did it, it looked like he was just like, he landed and just kept walking. And like, prove it. Like, well,
if he did keep walking, he probably would have just, like, gravity would have just made him fall flat in his face.
No. Gravity just does not know who Ricochet is.
The thing that Andy says as well is, like, if he mucked it up, is that NXT's tape. So they could have just
I mean, we never know how many takes that did unless you were there.
You know, but there's internet like spoilers these days, it'd be like, Ricochet lands front flip.
Yeah, is that it? Was
tight.
Never mind the internet spoilers, Dave Meltzer will be all over it like a bloody rash.
No, Dave Meltzer will be on his Twitter going, can someone give me the NXT live results?
Need to go 3.5 star.
Apparently it doesn't help to be friends with Dave Meltzer even to try and get that 5 stars.
Really?
Yeah, it's from Cody himself.
Oh.
Ooh. He's like, I tried to understand the system. Apparently trying to befriend him doesn't help. I went, oh.
Interesting. Yeah. Dave, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, like, can you just imagine if he didn't nail it first time, you know, and they would just go like, take two, or they could say, well, actually, I could have probably got a bit more flippant back. Can we try it again? You know, if it was treating it like a movie, you know, I think that may have added a bit
of
humor to it.
It's a good thing Triple H produces NXT and not Vince. It's like, damn it!
Tilt your ass as you turn!
Keep Vince as far away from NXT as possible, because... Yeah. Triple H handling it is just exactly how things should be.
Without sounding like crude against Vince, see when he does take a big step back and Triple H and Stephanie take full control, by God, I'd hate to be any other wrestling organisation because WWE is going to go to the attitude, it's going to find a new level and it's just going to go. And nobody is going to catch them.
No one's going to be safe.
Right now, you can see maybe Ring of Honor and the end of New Japan are kind of catching WWE and even to say maybe Impact, but see when they finally take over.
We all know that Vince isn't going to die. He's going to like be like Time Lord and regenerate.
He'll have himself cryogenic.
He goes, bye, I'm never leaving. I've been bit with bone disease. I'm only
winning this funeral. It's like, it was me. Yeah. It was me all along.
See, Alan, that point you make there actually kind of brings us quite perfectly into our next moment. I thought this is quite good from obviously a UK point of view. We've got the debut of NXT UK this year. Now, Quacko Sarah, you go to a lot more Scottish independent shows than the rest of us combined. You've seen some of these guys. We've almost seen some of them like ICW now, but you've seen a lot of these guys quite close hands, especially in the last year. What was your thought kind of getting to see them on an NXT on a WWE show on a weekly basis like NXT UK?
It was like a big massive sense of pride, actually. I mean, there's people that folk maybe haven't seen up here more often, like Nina Samuels. Like, the only really Scottish wrestling promotion you'll see her in is Discovery. You won't see her in ICW, you won't see her in Fierce Females, you won't see her PBW shows or BCW shows, you won't see her out there. So it's like, it was great to see people like Nina, getting to see like Liguero as well. Like, you don't really see him that often as well. Like, you see him maybe once in ICW.
Lost his first name.
Aye, he's lost his first name, unfortunately, for Liguero. It's like a big massive sense of pride, because you're like, you go from seeing these guys in like community centres and like the garage as well, like a nightclub, to places like the Royal Albert Hall, to seeing them like the big exhibition centres then in like Liverpool, etc. Like, and I'm getting to go and see TakeOver Blackpool as well, which I'm absolutely buzzing for.
It's amazing. I mean, Andy, you train with Wolfgang, one of your trainers as well. That must be quite cool to have him in training, and then he's on the TV the next week.
Yeah, he's doing great for himself. He's a great guy as well. He's a great trainer, and it's great to see him everywhere. And I just can't imagine how his schedule is. It's like it's NXT, and then he's like doing the ICW stuff.
That's his dad's pub, I think, as well.
It's amazing to see him everywhere. It's good to see him do well as well.
Yeah. Hey, Dave.
Yeah,
we all know that You and Scottish wrestling don't really go, you know. Have you watched much of NXT UK?
I have actually, yeah. I watched the first episode, you know, Johnny Saint's general manager. They're treating it as if it's like it's a legitimate show, you know, the big Johnny Saint is the general manager. But I think what I really like about this is they're giving a lot more exposure to Pete Dunne, for example, who's sort of playing second fiddle on the sort of Full Sail NXT roster a bit. So making him sort of the centrepiece for this brand, I think that's the best thing for Pete Dunne going at the minute. And then obviously,
man just got a pin at the main event.
But yeah, he won War Games for his team, so I mean, fair play to him. But I think when you think the sort of Full Sail brand, you think guys like Gargano, Ciampa, Dream, Undisputed Era, these sorts of guys, and the sort of the UK guys, they sort of take a back step in a way, but with this brand, it puts them at the forefront. And the fact you get some other superstars from, like, not just the NXT brand, but also, like, from ICW and, you know, other promotions as well.
Name some.
Well, you've other promotions or other superstars.
Promotions.
Oh, I think Sarah sort of mentioned them already as well. You've got, like...
Don't tell you, dodge. I mentioned one.
Moving on. But yeah, I think seeing the... Team Wolf.
Edinburgh Professional Wrestling Association.
Don't start that sort of thing. Shocking Hall Street Union Wrestling.
This is what I have to put up with every single time I'm on this show.
You bought a house instead of going to an ICW show.
I mean, see, more recently, what I've actually been loving is that they've not put the forefront on the UK title as of right now. The main focus is Wolfgang, Mark Coffey, and Joe Coffey.
Gallus.
I mean, they are doing amazing for that right now, and if it's going the way I think it's going to be like Scotland versus England for the title.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the big rumour for
that's the big rumour.
That's a big rumour for the Blackpool show. It's going to be but they've Pete Dunne and Joe Coffey.
Joe Coffey, yeah. That's so, I mean, I think that's more than likely to change hands considering it's live, so...
Oh, could be interesting.
Yeah, what I like a little bit of this is like they're heavily featuring more of the UK tournament competitors as well. You know, you've got like Mark Andrews, Flash Morgan Webster, Dave Mastiff as well. You know, guys like that. You know, we've seen them.
Mastiff.
I didn't know that. I didn't know coming from the Black Country means that you're French. Is Dave Mastiff?
Ah, Mr. Mastiff.
He comes from the Noir Country.
I mean, name some of the women just.
Oh, there's Rhea Ripley, there's Tony Storm, Dakota Kai, Killer Kelly.
Name the one Scottish last name, my god.
The non-May Young, well, classic one.
The non-May Young classic. Name the only Scottish one.
Ella Dawn.
There you go.
There we go. So, yeah.
It's been great. She's getting a great push, actually, at the moment as well.
Indeed. It's been great seeing NXT UK debuting this year. Those are two great moments involving NXT. What's been your favourite, guys? Quacky, I'll start with you.
See, I'll be honest, I'm just watching it to keep up with everything. I do like the whole thing of Gallus, and that's because quite a few t-shirts, to be frank, of like Gallus, like Mark Coffey, Joe Coffey, Wolfgang. And I love that whole thing of, I just think it's like ICW spearing themselves into the UK scene, and Dallas is there, get on yourself, sons.
Well, I'm kind of the same as Quacker. I mean, like, they were both great moments, but see, just the fact that, see, last year Wolfgang was the only ICW like player, and now you've got the actual invasion. Like, they've taken Joe, they've taken Mark, they've taken Kenny as well. But yeah, no, out of the two, definitely just the debut of NXT UK.
Yeah, definitely NXT UK. I'm a big fan of the Coffees, but especially Mark.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, NXT UK just opens a lot of doors to wrestling.
NXT UK, probably, yeah.
Cool, clean sweep. Excellent. Again, let's go back to Dave's favourite place, Scottish wrestling. This is personally my favourite moment of the year. Absolutely loved it. It was great seeing it live. Alan, Stevie Boy's cash in at Baromania.
Oh, fantastic. Bar standing beside you, and the next thing I know, you're on my shoulders. That was absolutely tremendous, especially right in the middle of the death match as well. So it was already getting uncomfortable, and then why anyone thinks, oh, this broke glass, I'm going to cash in, let's go. Coffee seed, but brilliant, fantastic, and it made what was already a spectacular match even better.
To be fair to him, the glass wasn't broken at that point, and the Kaiser Caps brought in the glass, so. I guess you're making
tomato, your own tomato,
chances.
Right?
No, but you're making your own chances.
You're giving me post-traumatic stress disorder right now.
Yeah, I mean...
There was tax out, there was cylinder block, you know.
Yeah.
Ooh, and spiderweb as well.
Did any of you see this one coming?
Yes.
Right into the show?
But I saw it coming, but it wasn't actually meant to happen. and I we all know that it wasn't meant to happen until at least Shug's time. But again, Stevie with his injury, that happened around about that time as well. And then I don't think they realised that, in my opinion, Stevie saved Whiplash's life in a way. Because Whiplash and Gunn were like getting ready to near enough kill each other.
Well, if we were sitting planning, so I could see right in the curtain and I could see Dallas and the most screaming at Whiplash, who just dropped on the stage, "Get back, get back." He didn't want to go in, out and take him back, and he just couldn't get back up. And you're sitting going, at that point, the blood was squirting his arm. Mm-hmm. Like,
at that point, I ran out of the barrel lines. I just couldn't take it anymore.
That's veins. Mm-hmm. I know, but see the sheer amount. I wasn't the only one there. They were all thinking, see, quite exactly. You know, that's what the panic was, and that's what they were thinking in the back as well.
But it was a great moment for a guy who you'd kind of seen grow up in the company and everything.
Also from a Renfrewshire boy as well. Yeah, in there.
He'd came from being just part of the Bucky Boys, and obviously, it's a proud moment, and obviously, Andy. Yeah, I keep coming to it. He's one of your trainers.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, Stevie's like, I've learned a lot from Stevie. He's a fantastic guy, and it was a shame about his injury and stuff, but he's getting better, and it was good to see him on his feet at Fear and Loving. And well deserved.
Do you think there's a comeback for him anytime soon?
Just from your judgment?
I think so. He's doing really well. I've spoken to him a few times about like how he's doing, and I don't know. Like, I couldn't say when, but yeah.
Well, I know he's going to be back and fighting fit. Do you want to know why? Because I recently tweeted, in the nicest possible way, 2019 is going to be a filthy year. And he quoted my tweet with a fist bump. And I know he's ready. That's evidence right there. Get to talk.
Do you think it'll be end of 2019, though?
It could be anything.
I'd probably say around Shugs. I mean, that gives it around about just less than a year.
Yes, I think that's good timing.
Definitely by Fear and Loathing next year.
If a Square goes, it's John Cena levels type recovery.
Imagine if he came in the Square Go though.
Alan Jones?
Oh, shut
up. Dave, let that go.
I compared it at the time. It was like Seth Rollins-esque cash-in. Came in during the match, you know. It was just, the crowd went crazy as well. The Battleland crowd was great that night.
Everyone was screaming for him to cash in.
I know.
And I remember I was standing screaming with Stevie cash in. I was like, they're already flat, well, bloody deed. I was like, someone just saved them.
Yeah, but it's...
I still get PTSD, oh my God.
I think I might be the only person that didn't want to cash in because I wanted BT at the team.
There's no way BT.
I wanted BT to retain, but still great, still happy outcome. But I was slightly disappointed.
Poor BT Gunn. He won two titles and he loses them by not getting pinned.
I know.
Both of them.
I feel for him. I know. I feel for you, brother.
It's like cut angle WrestleMania 2000.
Incidentally, it's another one of Andy's trainers.
Cut angle.
He teaches you how not to suck.
Wow!
Oh, Dave, come on!
Dave, come on!
Okay, that was a fair choice of words.
Can somebody gag him?
Yeah, I was gonna say that. That's not even worse.
Moving away from Dave's weekend antics, let's go on to our. Let's go on to our next.
Press the red button now for Dave's house party too.
Electric Boogaloo.
Let's go on to the next moment. Sarah, Shug's House Party Night 1. The return of the bad boy, Liam Johnson.
I was so happy. I mean, if we talked about it in our... I'm coughing now, oh my God. In our...
She's that excited she can't speak. Alan.
Hi.
Fell in for Sarah.
Yeah, this was the first time I've ever seen Liam Thompson. I didn't know much about him before then. So I'm sort of fairly new to ICW.
I lashed
over
the year of
science. But yeah, it was right the tongue. First time I'm like, who is this guy? I don't know what's happening. And then all I hear in the corner of my ear is the person who's dying here going, it's Liam! It's Liam! And that's what I'm like, ah, that's him. Yeah, I know exactly. I'm taking you well. Yeah, it was great to see, and by God, that guy has delivered since the moment he returned. He's been entertaining and brilliant from the get-go. And if Sarah can stop coughing, I'll let her take over.
I'm sorry, but I got so excited that I nearly choked on my sweet. Sweets are dangerous. Yes. I think, see, when I was putting together the sweep for Shugs, And I saw that Liam had been back at the secret show at the asylum, and I was just like, does this mean he'll come back? Does this mean he'll come back? And then, oh, I cried. I cried.
I'm laughing at your coughing, sorry.
Oh my god, I should really stop eating sweets.
But well, I'm saying it dies again.
Nice knowing you guys.
It was great because, not that, it was great because he'd been out for so long. Dave, fill it. He'd been out for so long, and
right.
Come back from a really bad injury. It looked like he was going to do it in his career. Just being able to get back in the ring must have been something for him.
Again, I've only seen Liam Thompson be a handful of times, but he's already won me over because I think he's probably one of the most entertaining guys in ITW, and also sink. That's all I can say about that.
And did you think the sink's the most over thing in Scottish wrestling?
I think so, yeah. How did the story start again with the sign?
Essentially, it was a
Wolfgang screen. Stole his sink after the square goal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure, no.
Yeah. He came up with the sink for the square goal, and Wolfgang took his spot and his sink, but it turned out that it was his actual sink apartment.
Yeah.
So he wanted his sink back.
This is bad that I'm a trainee there, and I don't even know half the stuff that happens in ICW.
It's really nice. It's probably nice. It's probably in there. One of the best moments I found this year actually was it was in the GUU show, and me and Laura were standing outside waiting on Gary and Scott, and all you see was these two guys from the crew with the sink. And we were like, and I just turned around to him and went, does Liam know you have that? And he's like, no, keep it quiet.
Surely there was like a pop. Surely Craig was like, whoa!
We were outside, it was just us.
Never. Oh, it was just the two of
you? Was it right before the show? We were outside waiting on them, and it was just like the two of them showing up casually in the venue with the sink. Like,
honestly, never have I seen like a superstar in an inanimate object more over than Chris Jericho in the list.
I know, I just wanted to quickly say on Liam Thompson, he did that, he took one of the classes once at training, and absolutely brutalised this man. I think it was the last time I was at. It was about 3 weeks ago. Still dying from it. Yeah, he's a lovely guy. A hell of a lot of advice as well he gave for wrestling. And yeah, it's good to see him back in the ring and see where he goes from there. Just wanted to give a quick plug out there.
Yeah, I think the next year's going to be absolutely fantastic for him. But yeah. That was when it was kind of a close call moment. So we were kind of between that and the Lionheart Hydro win, which we'll probably come to in the last wee bit of the show. But we're on to our last moment of the show, the last section there. What one was your favourite, Stevie or Liam? Sarah, did I need to ask you? I'm about just moving on to you before you cough to death again.
No, definitely Liam. I mean, I'm kind of regretting I didn't get to talk to him because of the death of the sweets, but yeah, definitely Liam.
Stevie Boy.
As much as I love Liam, no, it's got to be Stevie Boy Kishna.
Liam!
Stevie Boy.
Oh, it's a close one. I love that we've had a lot of close calls in this show in terms of favourite moments. Not many runaway ones other than NXT UK. Now, we're into the final section of the show. We're going to talk about some of the other moments, again, chosen by other panellists and some of our listeners. I thought I'd start off with this one because I just kind of talked about it there. Alan, Lionheart's Hydro win.
Yeah, fantastic. Well deserved, the guy's deserved world champion. He's put on best matches this year in ICW. He's been absolutely solid. And also we've discussed the Hydro show, and I know it's had its issues and so forth, but it was the best way the show, was the best reason, and him lifting that title up with that music, it was special.
Was it like WrestleMania worthy almost?
It had a great feeling because the theme tune's so good. It just kind of, it's the fact as well he went in the crowd and
he ran to get a selfie of his mum and he refused.
You know,
poor guy, he just won the world title.
Mommy,
fuck off.
So when he went up to the rope, was it the second or the third frog splash, that crowd actually just went absolutely mad.
Sadly, you missed it. I would go as high as it had been a good WrestleMania moment, let's put it that way.
It was a WrestleMania-esque type moment. Yeah.
Scottish WrestleMania type moment.
The hero stands at the end with the title and an iconic theme song playing in the background.
It was fantastic.
Very much.
It was a great feel-good moment for his year. Sarah, it's very appropriate to come to you on this one. We had the first ever women's pay-per-view this year.
Historic.
What can you say that you've not already said this year on shows about this?
What about first time evers?
No, about historic. About the old.
Shut up.
About Evolution.
About Evolution. Oh, what else can I say about that though? I mean, even the Battle Royal, which in my opinion should have actually been on the pre-show.
Battle Royale was great, I loved it.
I loved it, but I think it probably, I don't know why it would be, like, because the actual venue filled up quite quickly. Mm-hmm. Excuse me for a sec. I'm still dying of sweets, okay? Yeah, I mean, oh crap. It was great. I mean, what else can I say about it? You had the last Women's Standing match. I fell asleep during Ronda and Nikki because I really couldn't get shit about that. But with all fairness, Charlotte and Becky have just worn me out. So, I mean, yeah.
Okay, before the coughing fit begins again. Andy, we brought this up earlier on. Daniel Bryan's heel turn.
Yeah, amazing. Just little seeds that were getting planted. Is that right?
No. My last live show, I'm dying.
Anyways, it was great. And like I said, I remember saying in dream matches I always wanted to see Bryan and Lesnar together, and you know, I managed to see that. But yeah, the heel turn as well, and you know, AJ Styles is great, and it was just a great story them two can tell in the ring.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. Well, very well done. They've done well since he's had it. Dave, you mentioned this one. Adam Cole super kicking Ricochet in mid-moonsault.
Oh my god, that was just one of those. Yeah, I mean, if Ricochet doing the flip in front of Velveteen wasn't a jaw dropping moment, this was. Because, in case you don't know, I'm a massive fan of Adam Cole. And
really?
Yeah.
Shit the bed.
You never gonna let that one down.
Well, you steal historic, I'm gonna steal your power. Enough.
Did you hear Whiplash say it then?
He said he shut the bed.
Oh, for sake. But yeah, the super kick. Honestly, I think only Adam Cole could have probably pulled that off. And the fact that Ricochet, it was literally upside down, like any one wrong move, he could have just dropped and fell flat in his head. It was one of those moments that you knew it requires precision, perfect timing, and it was the highlight of the match for the North American Championship between these two. It was that just made that match.
It was absolutely great. Kwaku. Sugar Dunkin' and Sean Walker.
Wow. Yeah.
As brief as you can. Try your best.
Where can I start?
Visual aid.
Yeah, so I was used for educational purposes. For those that don't know, Sean Walker, he's a hood walker, curb stomper, 100% space trash. I know I've got the order wrong, but he's my G. He's from the projects in the hood of Lindsay. And Sugar Dunkerton, obviously coming from US of A, Sean Walker was trying to prove how down he is with Sugar Dunkerton. Sugar Dunkerton thought, nope, I need to show this guy. But was using myself and Gemma as a visual aid to prove that Sean Walker's not black. And he was like saying, see this man? Yeah, he's black. They're like, girl, yeah, white. It's like, yes, he still wasn't getting it. So he took him over to the big mirrors in the Source Wrestling School, and he still wasn't realising until Sean Walker starts crying, and then he goes, oh my god, I'm ginger!
I still cry at that moment. That was the greatest. Really? That was the greatest moment of summer.
Really, Quacker could probably talk all day. We probably should have a special anchor show for Quacker's review of this match.
Is that what you do every time you look in the mirror?
No, I realise I'm much better looking than Dave.
Oh!
But so you do look like Seamus's younger brother.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Skinnier younger brother.
Quickly, some of the other moments that were highlighted. Grado's ICW return. That yes. Particular moment was great. Mixed reviews, obviously, of his return since then, but the particular moment he came back, fantastic. Or like a prayer. Alan wore the Gradle t-shirt on the Saturday as opposed to the Sunday.
I know, I got it mixed up. All flustered. That was VIP. I was excited.
But that was something. One that was quite interesting was brought up by one of our other panellists, David Campbell. The Batista Triple H stared down at SmackDown 1000. Yes, SmackDown had a 1000 episode, in case people forgot.
I just don't understand why Evolution was there.
They weren't really on SmackDown.
It was weird, that But it could have led to something. Obviously, Triple H's injuries now meaning it's not going to lead to something. I wasn't at this show, so I didn't really know much about it. The KOE Source Tag Title.
Oh, yes. I mean, you've all heard when I spoke to Mikey Whiplash that he mentioned this. What KOE did, now KOE can stand for anything, it can stand for many different things, it's all down to your interpretation. Kicks out of everything.
Does he even have to stand?
It doesn't have to stand for anything, KOE. But the Source, air quotations, tag team titles was one of the most creative things I've ever seen, because even though it was just paper plates, with the word Source, but not with a C, it was with an S.
I've got it with an S.
Yes, the Source tag team titles. The fact that they went out of their way to go and make those, it took 2 minutes out of their life, but it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen, and tag wrestling matters.
It's commitment to a character.
Kai Williams King and King Killer are like, they're on fire. I absolutely love them so much.
Yeah.
It was just the way Kai Williams King said, I wear a veil in your Source tag team titles, and King Killer's holding them up, and then Kai just goes, you spell Source wrong, you fool.
There's Sean holding them up, and what the fuck is okay.
There's a lot of great things that came from Source this year. Hopefully see some great stuff next year. There's loads of great moments. It's hard to kind of pinpoint a few of them in the last wee minute we've got left here. There's things like DCT's world title win was great for him as well.
It was Becky, a shock, but it was
shock for boy.
It was Becky's heel, done. Well, it's not really much of a heel. You also class potentially the debut of Ronda Rousey in there, also just because of the eyes it brought onto the product, you know. There's tons of things. There's a lot of great moments that's happened. I may say that WWE's not maybe had as many as we've had in previous years, but so many of the ones there in Scotland, just in general, some loads in NXT, you know. 2018's been a great year for matches and moments, and I think we've, in that short time, managed to get a good bit of what's actually happened in terms of those moments and what it's meant to each of us.
Definitely. Felt watching it.
Which I think has made for a very good show. And on that note, I think it's a good point to round off our best moments and matches of 2018. So we have got two more shows left of the 2018 calendar at Suplex Retweet. Next week we go to the worst of 2018, hosted by David.
Yep. Gotta balance out, man.
Yes, David will be talking about all the bad things that have happened this year from WWE and beyond. David, please have some Scottish ones in there.
I'll do my best.
Use people. Sarah and Kwaku are here.
Use people.
Yes.
Use your resources. Use your resources.
Right.
Sarah and Kwaku are available on Facebook Messenger.
Yes. Well, first, I went to about 50 independent wrestling shows this year.
Drop me your Twitter handles, I'll see what I can do.
Yes.
Did you know my
Twitter
handle?
Get DM sliding in there, Dave.
I closed my DMs, I'm sorry.
What?
Only Ross was here to give me some advice.
I closed my DMs.
And we've also got a final show of the year, which will be our NXT call-up analysis show, hosted by Sarah.
Yes.
Looking at all the main roster call-ups
looking
in the last
all
12
main
months.
Roster call-ups, any honourable mentions like Adam Cole in the Rumble, etc. Shut up, Dave. But yeah, no, we were looking at that, and technically, you can kind of be a bit of NXT UK when you had Pete Dunne turning up on Raw. So we'll talk about all the NXT call-ups. So just get your favourites into us.
Yes, so that's coming up in the next 2 weeks. Of 2019 is coming up. We've got lots of great shows coming up. We've got a lot of stuff on the Rumble. We're going to have a lot more interviews. You're going to have a lot different variety of hosts. I'm not going to tell people who's hosting. You need to listen and find out. It's not just going to be me, Dave and Ross and Sarah.
Take a breath.
There's going to be a lot more variety in that one, so you're going to hear a lot more of the voices of Suplex Retweet next year.
Sorry, I forgot to mention one quick moment.
What's that?
Alexander Darling McCallum winning the Source Championship.
Absolutely. Stephen Wilson and Kwaku Adjei were not paid or threatened. So from
Ayla.
For myself, Stephen Wilson, I'd like to thank my panel, first of all, Sarah Grave.
Thank you. Sorry about my coughing fit.
It's fine. Kwaku will edit that out.
No, I can't. He's good, but he's not that good.
I'm sorry, Kwaku. I'm sorry.
You should have gone and died in another room.
I'll take.
Wow. Thank you, Alan McLucas.
Cheers, mate. It's getting feisty in here now. Oh, thank God I'm at the door.
I'm going to go out to Edinburgh with my tail between my legs and realise I've lost a friend.
To Andy Mitchell, thank you.
No worries.
David Hockney.
Thank you.
Kwaku, it's been nice knowing you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Sarah will kill you.
I know what you want.
I've been Stephen Wilson. This has been Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet. See you later.
Listen, c***s, I don't care what the f*** you think you're doing. Whatever you think is more important with your life, you honking bag of tips. You know what you should be doing? You should be going online, you should be subscribing, you should be listening to the back catalogue of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, whatever the fuck you're doing, that's what you should be doing. I don't care if it's your mum's birthday, I don't care if she's feeling contractions, get on it right now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.